God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. What if I were to tell you that I believe that Cammie Harris is captured in a psalm? It's Psalm, or pardon me, Proverb 6, verses 16 through 19. What if I told you as well that my former career of talk radio is also captured in this? Not all hosts, maybe not most hosts, but I can tell you I've struggled with this. And I understand I'm speaking this on a huge talk radio network, but it's a different one. It's vitally different and importantly different. It's because it has an audience of one, that's God, a family of many, that's you, particularly people who provide monthly support to keep God at the center of these programs. So Cammie Harris, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, and then a challenge that I think people in this profession face. A lot of us face it. We're going to reference this a lot in regard to Kamala Harris. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Haughty eyes is a euphemism for prideful arrogance. Now, I can't know that Cammie Harris is prideful. I can observe her behaviors that seem to be prideful. I know she endorses pride in sin. I know she endorses that. Arrogant. Again, I can't know that she's arrogant, but I can look at her behaviors and say they seem arrogant. Down talking to people like an ICE agent. She pretended that the ICE is widely seen as the same as the KKK. That's a pretense. The others, though, are self-evident. A lying tongue. Yes, Cammie Harris is a career liar. She changed her race. That's a big lie. The race with which she identifies. Hands that shed innocent blood. Well, of course, we can point to Planned Parenthood. She did their bidding in California. She'll do their bidding if she is fraudulently put into the Oval Office. Even if somehow she were to win without fraud, she would do their bidding. She is, of course, a friend of Hamas, which is bloodshed walking. She's fine funding both sides of the war between Hamas and Israel. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Well, she had a scheme to conceal from the nation the fact that figurehead Biden is demented and unable to serve as president, probably suffering from Parkinson's disease. She carried out that scheme to hide that from us. There was then a scheme behind the scenes. This, according to investigative journalist Seymour Hersh. Seymour Hersh is, from my observation, maybe a man who leans slightly to the left, but he will write any story. He's particularly keen on writing about the intelligence services and war, the Pentagon, maybe from a slightly left perspective. Seymour Hersh says that behind the scenes, Cammie Harris worked with Nancy Pelosi and Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrat leader in the House, and Chuckie Schumer, the Democrat leader in the Senate, to get with Barack Hussein Obama to invoke the 25th Amendment against Joe Biden. And according to Hersh, it was Obama who made the fateful phone call to figurehead Biden saying, Joe, we're going to invoke the 25th, unless you step down. So one scheme was to hide from us the degree to which Joe Biden is demented and unable to lead the country. The new scheme was to use the 25th Amendment to blackmail him to getting out. Blackmail is always wrong. And if the 25th Amendment should have been invoked that he not run, it should be invoked that he not lead. So Kamala Harris devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. Rushing to endorse the chemical and surgical alteration of confused little children is rushing into evil. A false witness who pours out lies. Well, she said that Joe Biden was a racist when she was running against him. Then that changed. She was a great crusader for civil rights for Black Americans. One of those two things was a lie. A false witness. And a person who stirs up conflict in the community. That's the part that worries me about myself. I don't want to stir up division and conflict in the community. It's never my intent. It used to be. Back when I did talk radio for a living, it used to be because negative attention was better than none, because being divisive was producing loyalty to the people who chose your side. I wonder how much God expects me to make up for that. I can't earn his grace. I can't earn redemption. I can't become good enough. I can't deserve it. But sometimes I wonder how much time God would like me to spend making up for that time. Again, knowing I can't earn anything, knowing God doesn't need me, knowing he'd be doing it for my good. That's a challenge, I think. People who are in political media should admit it's a challenge to not stir up conflict in the community. Kamala Harris, I think, is embodied by this particular proverb. And I think that that speaks to her need for Jesus. Really have Jesus. Later this week, I'll spend some time showing you what some of her pastors have said. There is an ad that Elon Musk promoted. It is just devastating. In fact, I'll ask you this question. Is this AI-type ad of Kamala Harris's voice edited into actually telling the truth the most devastating of the season?
I, Kamala Harris, and your Democrat candidate for president, because Joe Biden finally exposed his senility at the debate. Thanks, Joe. I was selected because I am the ultimate diversity hire. I'm both a woman and a person of color. So if you criticize anything I say, you're both sexist and racist. I may not know the first thing about running the country, but remember, that's a good thing if you're a deep state puppet. I had 4 years under the tutelage of the ultimate deep state puppet, a wonderful mentor, Joe Biden. Joe taught me rule number one, carefully hide your total incompetence. I take insignificant things and I discuss them as if they're significant. And I believe that exploring the significance of the insignificant is in itself significant.
Then it continues on. With some examples of Kamala Harris saying, I invoke Barack Obama, I pretend to sound Black, I pretend to celebrate Kwanzaa. It is utterly devastating because it would be what Kamala Harris would be if Kamala Harris chose to tell the truth about herself. We're told, of course, that Kamala Harris was a DEI hire. We were told by the left that Biden had promised to select a Black woman to be VP. That is DEI. We're now being told if we remind people of that, well, then we're being racist by reminding people about the racism used to select her. That AI-type ad we played is indistinguishable in character from the pandering Kamala Harris uses to con people. Here she is on RuPaul's show. He, by the way, is a man who pretends to be a female stripper or prostitute.
Hi, everyone. It's Kamala Harris. Each day, we are seeing our rights and freedoms under attack, including the right of everyone to be who they are, love who they love, openly and with pride. So as we fight back against these attacks, let's all remember, no one is alone. We are all in this together, and your vote is your power. So please make sure your voice is heard this November and register to vote at vote.gov.
Can I get an amen?
Amen!
Now on with the show.
Yes, of course, that famous law that Trump has promised to install from an executive order perspective of not letting you love who you love. That's wild that he's even thinking of that. Or to not be who you are in the way, of course, she means be who you are, is to have your entire body chemistry destroyed at a young age, to never go through the perfectly natural process of puberty, so that you can be who you are by never becoming who God designed you to be physically. That's Kamala Harris. That proverb, Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, I think embodies her. Speaking of people who think they're men who think they're women, this is an example, and it doesn't mean that it's connected to everybody who's gender confused or gender defiant or gender denying. It doesn't. But there is a man who decided to pretend to be a woman, live this way, who is now accused of taking video of a person with whom he was in a relationship dying from a drug overdose of fentanyl. He's a former so-called teen trans activist. His real name is John Milligan. He called himself Selena Lake, 29. He's been arrested after failing to appear in court for a preliminary hearing. He'd been in a relationship with a person named Kodiak Solomon, and this Kodiak Solomon had suggested that that he was going to be killed by this man pretending to be a woman. Had suggested it in post after post. Ultimately, this guy took video of this person dying of an overdose and said, this is what I'm dealing with again. He waited 2 hours to call 911 and then, of course, pretended he was trying to save a life. Now, you could say, well, wait, what does one have to do with the other? It has to do with this. Kamala Harris has devised and participates in a wicked scheme of promoting a mental illness as mental health itself. That is the illness of gender dysphoria. Or in the case of this man, probably autogynephilia, which is the man sexually aroused by causing others to pretend that he's a woman. And while mentally ill men who think they're women are celebrated, here's what the government just did to a guy named John Strand.
Because you did not have to choose this path. You went up against a DC jury, a no-win scenario, and you chose that instead of a plea deal. And most, regrets?
No, never. Not for one single second. For 3+ years. And in my case, the government gave me a golden parachute. They were holding a 20-year felony, $500,000 of fines over my head. And they said, if you bend the knee to the government, we'll give you a single misdemeanor. I could have gone home with a slap on the wrist 2 years ago and been living my life. But the plea deal was a lie, and it wasn't just a lie about me. It was a lie about a whole swath of American citizens, and it was a tool of the devil, to be frank. And I said, I'll have no part of that, and I refused.
That's from The Blaze. More stories at that guy at theblaze.com. John Strand's a hero. He refused to tell lies because the government ordered him to tell lies. Crime is a feature, not a bug, of leftist policies in America's big cities.
Against the redistricting because of crime, once again. Since you've been in office, crime has gone up 91%. Commissioner Garcia and Judge Hidalgo. This Monday, a child by the age of 8 was brutally murdered. I don't know how many more children need to be killed before you guys change SB 21 that you voted for. Most of the people that are being affected are minorities. So you claim that this is social justice, but the people that are dying and being murdered are Latinos and African Americans. So please tell me, how many more people have to die before you guys change these laws that you voted for? It's not the bail bondsman, it's your
laws. Thank you, ma'am, your time is up.
SB 21 is murdering
little children.
Thank you,
ma'am, your time is up.
That's from Harris County, Texas. And Kamala Harris actually brags about leading the push to get rid of the cash bail system in America, as you'll hear as we continue. We'll also talk next about the Olympics and the opening ceremony. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We talked about Kamala Harris and my contention that she's well described with Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. I also shared with you that last line about a person stirring up conflict in the community really, really causes me concern as someone who does a podcast and radio show for a living. I don't want to stir up conflict in the community. It's not my goal. I don't think it's my heart. I think it used to be my heart. I don't believe it is anymore. So I hope we don't do that, at least me. I don't think any of the other hosts here would do that. Not on purpose and not by design, and certainly not my experience listening to their programs. I find it all affirming. Even where we disagree on some topics, political, I find it all affirming because it all has God at the center. I did want to finish off on something. I was mentioning that in the cities or counties like Harris County, Texas, where Democrats have taken control in Harris County, crime has gone up 91%. And we've seen it in Democrat city after Democrat city. In my judgment, it's by design. It's an evil scheme to tear down the country bit by bit by bit until people beg for a fully authoritarian system. And Kamala Harris brags about leading the push to get rid of the cash bail system in America.
I've been a leader in the United States Senate on what we need to do to get rid of the cash bail system in America. And why? Because I know the system from the inside. And I know that when we are talking about the issue of bail, the fact is that there are people sitting in jail every day in America for days, weeks, months, even years, waiting to go to trial simply because they can't afford to pay the money to bail out.
In the case of the January 6 accusees, some have been in jail for 3 years for nonviolent offenses because they can be kept there because they're not offered bail. Kamala Harris used the cash bail system to her advantage when it advantaged her husband, who had invested heavily in private prisons where they were using effectively forced labor. Kamala Harris participated in extending the sentences of people because it would save her company, her husband's company money. Maybe that's not why, but that had the effect. It saved her company, her husband's company money because they didn't have to train new prisoners. So I continue to believe Kamala Harris is embodied in that proverb 6, verses 16 through 19. And I continue to try to let the Holy Spirit guide my heart in relation to that last phrase, that stirring up conflict in the community. I don't want to do that. I contend that the following verse from the Bible, all Bible verses useful for teaching and rebuke and instruction, I believe this embodies what happened at the Olympic opening ceremony. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You probably have seen the clips of the opening ceremony. Did you know that the International Olympic Committee and NBC are using copyright acts to come after people for reposting the videos? People who simply took videos of the Olympic opening ceremony and put them up on platforms like Twitter-X, they're being charged with copyright violations, which can cost you money. People are taking them down because they don't want to have to pay money. We, on this podcast this week, my podcast, we spend a lot of time on this, and I'm rolling the dice, honestly, that they're not going to come after me that hard. And if they do, they're going to tell me to take it down. But we looked frame by frame at this and image by image. I want to be very careful. You're probably aware of some of it, but I want to be very careful about how I describe some of it, given the fact that God is the sole audience and you, the listeners, are the family. And I know that you'd sometimes listen with family. So I'm going to describe one man with a biologically exact phrase, and I just want to warn you. There was a man during what was the Last Supper, that it was mocking the Last Supper, and I'll explain how I know that in a minute, who decided to display his testicles for everybody to see quite purposely, including, it appears during the video, the little girl who walked up behind and touched. The organizers now and some of the participants have said, oh, that wasn't the Last Supper. We were celebrating Dionysus. No, that's not what French TV called it as it was happening. French TV said it was the Last Supper. One of the participants said it was the Last Supper. It was attempting to mock Jesus before he went to the cross. And God cannot be mocked. God, though, can be caused to give you your fleshly desire. In fact, you're free to have it now. That fleshly desire, you're free. Go have it. And you will have your reward. They've had their reward. Jill Biden loved the satanic perversions of the opening ceremony for what used to be the Olympics.
It was spectacular. The rain did not dampen our spirits. And Casey, honestly, every step of the way, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, how are we going to top this? How are we going to top this? So, okay, so Paris has the, you know, Eiffel Tower, but we have Hollywood, right, and the magic of Hollywood that makes all dreams come true. So I think we're going to be okay.
Wow. Where do we begin with this? The magic of Hollywood that makes all dreams come true. Jill, have you been to Hollywood? No. I know you've been in the limo rides. I know you've been to the homes of film studio executives. I know that. No. I mean, have you been to Hollywood? Have you been to the Hollywood Hills? Have you seen the people collapsing from drug use right around Hollywood? Have you been to the what used to be a beautiful Santa Monica Pier where you can no longer walk safely? Have you seen this? It makes all dreams come true. And Hollywood, well, they can top this. They promote Satanism all the time. God cannot be mocked. So to the people who decided to participate in this and decided to make this the, what, culmination of a life's work, the director for this had a $150 million budget. 15,000 people working for him. And the design was to attempt to mock God. And I imagine it was a thrill. Here you are on a stage in front of a billion people acting out your, well, I guess, I don't know every actor up there. Maybe it was just an acting gig for some people. Maybe it was just that. But for the people who designed it to mock Jesus and to mock biblical sexuality, you had an experience that you can have forever. Forever and ever and ever, you can be apart from God. And Satan always acts as an angel of light. He's always, always trying to act like the good guy. So you may have found this thrilling. Being apart from God would mean that you don't have the balance. Because those actors, I bet, experience charity. I bet they experience kindness. I bet they experience love, positive love, actual biblical love from time to time. I bet they experience tolerance, the good type of tolerance. We don't tolerate the sin, but we tolerate the human being because we're called to love one another. I bet they experience that. You will experience none of it if God gives you what you want. And what you appear to want is to have nothing to do with him. Once that happens, the common blessings are gone. Common blessings, food, water, light. But there's also some common blessings of structure. The world is not completely chaotic yet. Hell will be chaotic. It will be absent all of the good qualities because Satan doesn't possess any of them. But you will have lived your fleshly desire. You will have chosen life apart from God. And unless they repent, I would imagine that God will give these people exactly what they seem to want.
Ou cacher un revolver quand on est tout nu. Ou je sais où vous pensez, mais c'est pas une bonne idée. Ouais. Plus de riches, plus de pauvres quand on revient.
This is the sort of thing that they are using copyright charges to prevent.
Qu'on soit si, qu'on soit gros, tout simplement tout nu.
It's just French, just singing. It's singing over the images of perversions and an attempt to mock God. And for that reason, they want it deleted. So people are deleting these posts. What is it that people want to hide? Is it that of which they're proud? The Olympic Committee put out an apology to people for feeling offended. They're sorry we feel that way. Don't be sorry for us. Be sorry that you are attempting to mock God. And then for us who were, in fact, offended because of how this was an attempt to mock Jesus, can I just point one thing out? Jesus has been through far worse. It was from the cross where he had been tortured, scourged, beaten, spat upon. It was from the cross that Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Our role is to forgive, to pray, to look again at those scenes and realize that we are watching spiritual captives. That's what we watched. Satan's so good at trickery that he has them celebrating their prisons, glorifying the bars that hold them. In fact, interpreting them as love. In really abusive family relationships, people can be conditioned into saying it's love. No, it happens. Abused wives, physically beaten. Look, I try to do right, but sometimes he has to remind me really hard. Kids have to believe this is how love is done. Because to believe otherwise would kill you, would cause you to lose hope. So we are to look again at this scene and the people who acted it out and to do as Jesus did. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. And then to warn them. See, the lies of Satan are so utterly seductive. They can cause all sorts of swishes of loyalty. This man was an anti-Trump Republican. Now he's a Democrat and believes the Democrat Party is more Christ-like.
Conservative Christian and a lifelong Republican up until March of this year when Trump won the nomination and I left the party. Now, I was anti-Trump before this, but I was holding on to see if my fellow conservatives would nominate a candidate who's, well, sane. But they chose Trump instead. So whether Biden steps down or not, I'm voting with the Democrats this go-round, and I just want to say something that has really surprised me since I left the Republican Party. A lot of Democrats I've met, and the platform itself, aligns with my faith as a Christian way more than the Republican platform. I mean, quote, Christians in the Republican-led House right now are trying to cut SNAP benefits, which is food assistance for the poorest of the poor, but they want to give our wealthiest corporate elites a huge tax break. How does that reflect the character and nature of Jesus? Now, what they always throw at you when you point out something like this is abortion. But how does forcing women by law to adhere to our moral standard fit with the gospel? Yes, I oppose abortion morally. But when did Jesus ever tell us to go into all the world and force others to obey our moral standard? He told us to proclaim the good news and then let people decide. Not to mention that abortion bans just shift how and where people get abortions. Prohibition laws are terribly ineffective and harmful. Just look at the war on drugs. So hate me if you want, but the Trump-led GOP minus abortion looks a whole lot like a protection racket for big business. And Jesus, the Jesus I serve, the Jesus who said, "Woe to the rich and blessed are the poor," well, I don't think he would have anything to do with it.
So just to reply to that gentleman, first of all, Neither party is godly. Neither. The RNC just featured speeches to false gods, prayers to false gods at their convention. Neither party is godly. On your contention that the Democrat Party is more like Jesus? In John chapter 18, verse 36, we read, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from this world. No, the Democrat Party is not more like Jesus. The corporate entities you mentioned, the corporate favors from Republicans, the Democrat Party forced people to shoot their bodies up with an mRNA poison and record profits for pharma. They forced them. That wasn't choice. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all will be added to you. Please don't seek first the party. In terms of abortion, there's no force. There's no force to force women to live to a moral code. Men and women can have sex with whomever they like in most cases, in most states. And there are results. The result is inevitably pregnancy. That law is not about telling people to not have sex. That law is about saying you don't get to murder the least of these. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? We know the rest of this, right? It is our job to warn people. The Democrat Party instead has enshrined sin as virtue. It has nothing in common with Jesus. The Democrat Party is terrible, far worse than the Republicans. But please don't ever turn to a political party for godliness. Turn to God. We'll come back on the Disciples' View. Tempting to think that everything has changed now that Kamala Harris is the appointed figurehead. I shared with you earlier in the program that Seymour Hersh is a longtime investigative journalist. He concentrates on the military-industrial complex. Man, I sound like a hippie when I say that, but that's really a pretty wicked way to describe it. He also concentrates on the intelligence services and operates with a pretty long and, well, a long-gained and I'm sure nourished and nurtured series of sources in Washington, D.C. Hersh is reporting that it was Barack Hussein Obama who made the final phone call to figurehead Biden to blackmail him. That's what it was. Joe, we're going to use the 25th Amendment to move you out unless you stand down from running again. And this involved, according to Seymour Hersh, Nancy Pelosi. It involved Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrat leader in the House. It involved Chuckie Schumer and, of course, Kamala Harris herself. Kamala Harris could have brought forward the 25th Amendment and said he's unfit to serve. And we could have gone through the process of removing him. But instead, according to Hersh, this was done not for the good of the country, but for the good of party. It's tempting to say then, well, now suddenly everything has changed. But yet more indications that really, truly nothing has changed. Not in terms of D.C., and the deep state that runs it. The pharma insurance government beast is still the same.
What I've said to the Biden administration is the health sector can't solve this on its own. We're going to have to bring in Homeland Security, the Commerce Department, Justice Department to help us understand how to do this. And I've said the same with, I met with Dr. Tedros last month in Geneva, WHO, the director general, to say, I don't know that the World Health Organization can solve this on our own. We need the other United Nations agencies, NATO. This is a security problem because it's no longer a theoretical construct or some arcane academic exercise. 200,000 Americans died because of anti-vaccine aggression, anti-science aggression. And so this is now a lethal force. That, and now I feel as a pediatric vaccine scientist, it's just as important for me to make new vaccines to save lives. The other side of saving lives is countering this anti-vaccine aggression.
Anti-vaccine aggression, that's Peter Hotez. He's the new Tony Fauci. He's pretending that there's anti-vaccine aggression. Aggression. And did you hear the entities he wants to invoke into this fight? The Department of Homeland Security In other words, more force. We have to have more force to make people do the right thing for the right reasons. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling. The Secret Service bosses have asked President Trump to speak to far smaller crowds. You know, the size of crowds of which Kamby Harris can draw.
The Secret Service is apparently now telling or asking the Trump campaign to stop doing their rallies outdoors. I can tell you that I asked Don Jr. about that at the RNC last week, if he was going to encourage his father to stop holding rallies outdoors. He said that his father would not like that at all. He loves those outdoor rallies.
Well, of course he does. They're great turnout mechanisms. They're great ways to motivate people to go vote. One of the things you do at those rallies is hand out registration forms. And you also look at where people are drawn to you, from how far they come away. They're great, fantastic data draws. It's not Trump's fault that Kamby Harris can't fill up a small, you know, theater or the back room of a theater. Speaking of Kamby, second soundbite today. Kamby Harris wants smaller families.
Think about the impact on something like public health. When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
More of our children, though, will have fewer children. See, it's really the same. She's the same as the figurehead. She's the same as the people, the bosses before. They want a smaller population. Does God? Is that his design? I didn't read an expiration date on Be Fruitful and Multiply. Did you read that? I didn't. It's just like I didn't read an asterisk in our Constitution where it says, unless there's a bad flu. It seems Kamby Harris may want no families.
I've heard young leaders talk with me about a term they've coined called climate anxiety. Right? Which is fear of the future and the unknown, of whether it makes sense for you to even think about having children.
Because of the weather. Does it make sense for us to even consider having children because of the weather? What a question to ask. Of course it makes sense. Be fruitful and multiply. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
It's a fascinating thing sometimes when you do this for a living, that which angers people. And it's a couple things that have really gotten people frustrated over the past week or two. One is a YouTube video that one of my producers posted. And the way this works, so you know, the reason I'm investing in YouTube is number one, as a podcaster, because I do a five-day-a-week podcast, 2 hours of material every day, is because YouTube is the top podcasting platform in the world. I mean, and it's not even close. And all the young people, anyone below the age of 35, expects everything to be in video. So we made that investment. And by the way, if you want to check out our YouTube channel, it's good content. It is different than this. I like this show far better than what we put on YouTube. I will tell you that because YouTube is clips of shows. But you can go to youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow and subscribe. And so you see the clips of my podcasts. And in video, you can see if, God forbid, you want to know what I look like, but you can see what I look like and what the studio looks like. So a process we use is there's a couple of producers who are unfortunately tasked with watching all of my podcasts. One of them, Nayana, is in the studio with me as we do the podcast. Another, Brianna, does this later.
and they would go take pics of the portions of the program and say, this will do well on YouTube. They'll cut it up and they'll put it up there. It's sometimes it's 60 seconds, sometimes it's 11 or 15 minutes of the show, and they post them. And oftentimes, I don't know what's going up, but I'll see the responses. They recently posted my discussion of the RNC featuring prayers to false gods, two of them. And boy, are Republicans upset at me. A lot of people have written to me saying, you're not going to lose just atheists if you say that. You're going to lose us. A lot of people have written to me and said, we have to have religious freedom. Are you saying we should ban prayers to anything but the Christian God? Other people have written to me and said, why are you trashing Republicans? They're finally bringing people into the fold. They're finally appealing to minorities, and you're going to trash that. You don't want to win. Win what? One gentleman wrote to me and said, are you actually saying that the Republican Party should not allow prayers to gods other than Jesus at their convention? And I wrote back and said, only if they care about their members' eternal souls. And he said, what about religious liberty? Well, what about it? I believe I would fight to the death to allow religious liberty on a governmental sense. I believe that a private group, and the Republican Party is a private group, still has the right to decide which prayers are said at their events. I'm quite certain the Republicans have that right. I'm quite certain that telling people to pray to foreign gods is an affront to the one true God. I am quite certain of that because that's what the Bible tells us and shows us. Nations that pray to false gods have never had a good outcome because the one true God cannot bless that activity. I am not the least bit worried about the Republican Party. I'm not the least bit interested in it. It's a private group. I used to work there. I was one of, 10, maybe 12 people on the leadership committee. I've walked the halls. I've sat in the meetings. I've had the one-on-ones with the bosses. I've helped them raise money, millions and millions and millions of dollars of it. I don't hate the Republican Party or the people in it at all. My priorities are utterly different. Utterly different. When I watched the prayers to the foreign gods on stage at the Republican National Committee, and I saw people in the audience dutifully bowing their heads to foreign gods, what my head went to was God Almighty saying, you shall have no gods before me. And what I was watching was defeat being snatched from the jaws of victory. You know, during the COVID lockdowns, where they decided to use a flu that they probably created using our tax money as an excuse to shut down half of our economy, to ruin one-third of small businesses, to destroy the minds of children, to force people to get injected with a modified gene sequencing device that has killed maybe 17 million people and will continue to kill. When they made that decision, they found an asterisk in the Constitution. You'll not be deprived of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness unless there's a bad flu. The right of the people to move about freely will not be infringed. I know that's not a Bill of Rights, but it's inherent in the promise to pursue liberty is the promise that you can leave your house, otherwise you are imprisoned. That all goes away if there's a bad flu. That's the asterisk they found. There is no asterisk in you shall have no God before me. It does not say unless you are building an intersectional political base, then you can pray to false gods. So long as it wins an election for a president for 4 years, then please, by all means, pray to false gods. My respectful question, and I do mean it with respect and love, is people who saw the Olympic Games opening ceremony, openly mocking the Last Supper, complete then with the white horse of the apocalypse, complete with the golden bowls, the idols. If people saw that and were offended and said, that's it, I'm turning off the Olympics. It's tragic that these athletes have competed their whole lives, sacrificed so much to go achieve this, but I'm not going to watch. Or they found themselves upset. Did you find yourselves equally upset by what was done at the RNC? If not, why? Let me liken it to this. What would you do if you came home, walked into your home, and saw your children praying to false gods? Walked into the room and your daughter was on her knees praying to Muhammad. How would you feel? What would you say? What if it was just your sister, not your kids, or the rest of your family? Maybe it was your mom or dad had just converted. How would you feel? Afraid? Scared for them? Shouldn't we be scared for the people in the audience of the RNC who decided to bow their heads to that? There's something about policing our own that makes people uncomfortable. I would advise the following alternative. Have people like the Patriot, who is a solid American and loves this country, Hamid K. Dillon, who loves this country. Have her stand and speak about her beliefs. Have her explain her faith. Have her talk about what it's done for her life. Don't let her pray. If she decides to do it, don't yank her off stage, but don't design it. Don't promote it. Don't make it okay. It's never okay to lead the sheep astray. Not in pursuit of political office. Political offices will come and go. Leaders will come and go. The Lord will continue to allow people positions of leadership from time to time for his own ends. Sometimes it will seem mysterious. Sometimes it will seem almost like he is allowing evil to happen, because sometimes God allows evil to happen, because all so often, very often, when people see that, they turn to him. It's happening at our church every week. We get someone coming in saying, the times just seem so evil. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until God decides you and I can speak again together, may his peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This is Ben, a Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.